free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty.
To Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. This is Thursday. It is the 26th of August in the year 2004. This is the last day of our broadcast week. For those of you who may be new listeners, we broadcast Monday through Thursday, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We're live streamed on the Internet from First Amendment Radio, and you can listen live at our website at sweetliberty.org. It's on the main page. If you go down just a little bit, you'll see it'll say on air. And when you go in there, that's where the audio and the archives are. You can hear archived broadcasts also. And we're also broadcasting on shortwave from Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, at 5.070 megahertz. And our guest, again this evening, folks, is Alan Watt. First, though, I have a couple of short announcements here that I want to make. I told you last night about the tetanus shot that a lot of children get. I think it's either 9th or 10th grade. But it's a booster shot, and I gave you information on it. I won't repeat it all. The one thing I forgot to tell you is that in the particular school to which I was referring, they had these opt-out forms right in the office, and it wasn't found out until the mother of this child was jumping through hoops trying to get a hold of the form, knowing that it did exist. So for any of you, as I said, if you have children in school and if they're insisting on them getting vaccinated of any type, folks, you go into Vaccination Liberation, the website, and you can look up the ingredients of any of the vaccines. Thimerosal, I believe. Thimerosal is a preservative that's in all of them that I know of, that I'm aware of. It is a form of mercury. They use formaldehyde as detoxifiers, and they use aluminum, and all of these are neurotoxins. They are poison to not just the brain cell, but as Alan pointed out last night, to the entire nervous system. So before you jump through hoops, just call the school office and say, don't ask if they have them, just say, I want one of the opt-out forms to opt my child out of having the vaccine, because it is against my religious beliefs. That's all you have to say, folks. Well, now, no, I take that back. I don't know the law in every state, but that I know of, every state has some type of an opt-out option for parents. Now, this is for all of you. It says that this is an email that I received today to all of you out there that have had Clay Douglas in your prayers. They have been answered. Clay is being released from the hospital today. This is dated as of today, the 26th. And he is on his way to Sunnyvale, California for the Tax Freedom Rally, which will be held August 28th and 29th at the Four Point Sheraton in Sunnyvale. He'll be traveling with his two sons, Trevor and Cameron. And if you wish to attend the rally, I'm going to give you a number for any of you out that way that might be interested in going. It is, write it down, because I'm not going to repeat this, folks. 209-966-7040. 209-966-7040. And that was Clay Douglas, a fellow broadcaster, who was in a motorcycle accident several months back. He had injuries, brain injuries. He was wearing no helmet. But according to this, Clay is then released today. So that is good news. And I'm sure that the family appreciates the prayers and the support that has been outgoing to Clay. And that is that. And that is, I believe, all that I wanted to do. Let me share our spiritual message with you. This is from Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, Father, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. To me, that is the same, if you would, Jesus said that we must know ourselves. Know thyself, he said. There is nothing more to know. And if the kingdom of God is within us, as Jesus said, then wouldn't that make sense? That to know ourselves is the most important thing. If we know ourselves, maybe that is all there is to know. And Alan Watt, thank you for being with us again this evening.
It's a pleasure.
Oh, and you're nice and volume tonight, right up there with me. I was very glad to hear last night that even though I was having trouble hearing you, that our listeners didn't, and that's what's very important.
Yeah.
So, Alan, I received an email today from a lady, and I don't know if she's a first time listener, but certainly probably a first time listener. With you being on, she said she was very confused and didn't even really know what it was all about, and I urged her to listen tonight. I told her that we had done a lot of broadcasts together and that you had put your booklets together, and I would like to give our listeners, before we get started tonight so that we don't forget to do it, your address. Folks, Alan had put two booklets together. I mentioned this last night and then forgot to do the address. But they are still available. And so much of what he talked about when he was on this broadcast quite a number of times, blowing us all away with information, ancient history, that just mind-blowing. And the booklets that he put together... he did writing, explaining what was in the what is in the booklets, but what is really relevant, well, that is relevant, because without his explanation, we wouldn't probably have any idea why the pictures, the photographs, photocopies from old books that really confirm so everything that Alan was telling us, or at least what was there. And so, therefore, I thought that those of you who have not had an opportunity and would like to catch up a little bit, you might want to order these booklets. And Alan, when you order them, folks, you're going to address it to Box Holder, please. Box Holder. And Alan, I wrote it in my address book, which is out in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Which you give. It's Sot.
Hold on till I find mine.
Oh, my, my.
Yeah, this is where
you have to go looking for it.
You have to find it where you are. Yeah.
Because I know where I know right where mine is this time.
Yeah.
You want me to run to get mine?
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You can talk for a second there.
Okay. Yeah, there were actually two booklets. There was one and two. And at the time, they were $20 each. That includes postage and packing and all the rest of it. And the payment was for $20 in a postal money order, international postal money order, which is the only way I can cash it here in this country. So a regular postal order won't do. You have to ask for international postal order at the post office. But no one's had any problems with that in the past. And I think Jackie's back.
I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you hear me coming?
Yep.
Oh, geez, do I walk that heavy? I'm barefooted.
No, I can have it sensitive ears.
I see. Sensitive ears. All right, folks, this is Alan's address, and I want to remember to tell you, please do not send personal checks, because he wouldn't be able to cash them. When you order, send $20 in cash or an international postal money order. You can get it at your post office, but you want to get an international postal money order, and it is you would send it to box holder, site 41. That's SITE, site 41, box 4. And that is Astaire, Ontario, E-S as in Samuel, T as in Thomas, A-I-R-E, Astaire, Ontario. And the postal code is P as in Patru, P-3, E as in Edward, 4, the numeral 4, P-3-E-4, N as in Nancy, and the number 1. So it is P3E4N1. One more time. It is box holder, site, SITE 41, box 4, Astaire, Estaire, Ontario, P3E4N1. And there are two of them. And Alan, did you tell them that for people who may be very, very limited in their funds, that if they cannot afford the $20 per book to send what they can?
That's right, yeah.
All right.
And put Canada at the end.
Oh, yeah, you have to put Canada there.
Because there is an Ontario, I think, in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Oh, Astaire, Ontario. Okay.
In California, yeah.
In California.
Yeah.
Okay, there we are. Now, where do you want to start tonight? And don't say it's up to me.
Well, we've already gone through the fact that this plan has been ongoing for the complete reordering of the world for thousands of years, basically, and that at this crucial point of the change, you might say, to global governance and a new way of living for everyone, they had to dumb the public down even more so than they ever had done before. And they have been using inoculations primarily to lobotomize the public. And the IQ has been dropping substantially from especially the 50s onwards. So this is a deliberate dumbing down for a purpose, because you cannot have a literate public worldwide during a time of massive change where all morality is reconfigured into a new morality with new ways of doing everything. And so this agenda was all planned. We were expected to always believe that everything that happens in history is just bungling and accidents by governments and scientists. And that's so far from the truth, it's incredible. Everything that happens is planned that way. They knew that there were over 100 live simian, which is chimpanzee or monkey viruses, in every shot of polio before they gave it to the public. And the simian 40 virus, its only function is to create tumors and cancers. That's all it does.
Well, you say that, and I would like you to, well, maybe you were going to, I'm sorry, explain that you actually heard Dr. Salk on a round table on television saying that very thing.
I've got the videotape. The CBC, which documents everything, it's the government, the Canadian government station, played an old replay, a black and white replay, one day, one boring Sunday, and it was about Dr. Salk and his clips in it and his co-workers. And they talk about the fact that they were aware that these viruses were live and that they were hazardous to not only your basic health, but long-term health. And they knew that the simian 40 virus would cause cancers. Other ones would attack the central nervous system. It would also, some of them even caused sterilization. Now, when you realize that was all part of an ancient policy, was exactly that, to cull the population and reduce the population by sterilization and by early death. We've never had such a spate of brain tumors in the very young as we have since 1950 onwards. So this has done its job, and it's not by bungling, it's by deliberation.
By plan. Didn't Dr. Salk say, if I recall, that one of the viruses, its only function was to cause brain tumors?
That's right, cancers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of all kinds.
Uh-huh.
And that was a simian 40, but that's only one of many of them.
And did you say this was an ancient thing, that they did this too back in ancient days?
Oh, in ancient times, you'll find records from the Egyptians. The priests wrote everything down like all bureaucrats do. And that's what the old priesthoods really were. They were bureaucrats. And they wrote all the signs and symptoms of population control. That also meant having docile populations. And they tried to even reduce calories. They tried feeding them certain things, omitting proteins, to keep them docile and placid and yet strong enough to do the work. So this has been an ongoing thing for thousands of years. And then, of course, Malthus, who was the top economist for the British East India Company in the 1600s, eventually wrote his book on population. That was introduced in the early 1700s. And he advised raising people, the masses, he said, the expendable masses, the surplus, and building housing over swamplands where they'd be infected by mosquitoes and would die of diseases. And so they had all these beautiful ways to cull people off that they didn't need anymore.
What
so
do you
this has been an ongoing thing.
What do you know about DDT? And the reason I ask is because I have read articles that it suggests that DDT had been, they stopped using it because it was so effective in keeping down the mosquito population. And what is it, what are the mosquitoes called, the yellow fever or...
And malaria.
Yeah, malaria. And that today, in the modern world, uh-huh. in some of the third world countries, people are dying, dropping like flies
yeah.
from malaria. Do you think that DDT was effective and maybe more harmless, if there is such a thing as...
Yeah. But what they did, in fact, was... to try and ban DDT, and they still show these same clips in science shows for children today. They show you always these birds, generally seagulls, giving birth to these jelly-like type eggs where the eggshell was almost non-existent. And this was the main proof that DDT was harmful to nature. But what they didn't tell the public, although the information is available on request, is that they fed these captive seagulls nothing but DDT. You see?
Yeah.
So, obviously Africa has been slated for a long time for massive depopulation.
Yeah.
But I was going to say as well that a colleague of Salk, who did the polio vaccine, was Joseph Gallo, and he's the guy who got the main contract to create the AIDS disease.
Do you know anything about Garth Nicholson being involved in that?
Not so much. I just follow the main characters.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So they're all well connected, you know. If you look at David Banting, who's the held up as a hero in history for developing, amongst other things, insulin for diabetes control. Frederick Banting, I should say.
Banting, is it?
Yeah, Sir Frederick Banting. And he came from around the Alliston area in Ontario, Canada. But this man was a top bacteriologist for germ warfare during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read his memoirs, and what he was developing, he was developing diseases which would wipe out everybody with a German gene.
With a what?
With a German gene in their body.
A German? You mean like the Germanic race?
That's right. And he said
I got it. In other words, if you had if you were of German descent,
uh-huh.
what he was creating would kill you.
Yeah, and he said in his own memoirs, and anybody can go and find the memoirs of Banting, he said, I won't be happy till everyone with a German gene is extinct from this planet. This is the great hero who's got statues up to him for helping children and diabetes. You know.
And and insulin kills.
Uh-huh, yeah. And also he developed a disease which would be spread amongst cattle, and the idea was to kill off the food production in Germany. And strangely enough, has all the same symptoms as what we call mad cow disease today.
Wow.
It's not a coincidence, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So every major figure they give you in history is really one of the elite, and they are mass murderers.
You said a long time ago
mm-hmm.
that every hero that we have in our mind
yeah.
was given to us. I have discovered in my research
yeah.
that at least the heroes that I have held that we were taught in school were heroes are no longer heroes.
Yeah, yeah. And then even Thomas Jefferson, in his own memoirs, says that he was corresponding with Malthus and that he was very interested in his theories on population control. That's Jefferson's own writings.
Alan, it's confusing when you read stuff that they allegedly said.
Mm-hmm.
Did they say, I mean, or was this all made up, some of the good things they said?
Oh, the good things are just what their advisors would tell them that people want to hear. That's
okay.
always been the way.
Okay.
Yeah. And yet in their own memoirs, they say such complete opposite things. It's like Winston Churchill, who had a whole nation rise up to fight supposedly the Germans. And I believe, to be honest, that Hitler was set up by the same bunch, too. I really do. In fact, World War II had to happen
mm-hmm.
because there was only two ways out of the situation they created in Germany. One was to change the initial demands of the Versailles Treaty and or for Germany to go to war. So they supplied the right man at the right time, and they got their way anyway, you know. Meanwhile, Churchill's over on the other side directing a war that had not started before he was the Prime Minister, with his own agents working for him.
Yes.
And preparing for World War II, telling the public when it began that the fight on the beaches and all this rot, you know. And his secretaries come out, his personal secretaries come out with a book called The Fringes of Power. And it's got all the private conversations of Churchill with his own inner elite class. And he says, this is the best thing that ever happened for us. We shall have our long-awaited dream of a united Europe, which is exactly what Hitler wanted. So there's your paradox, you know.
Yeah.
But to the public, oh yeah, we're going to fight on the beaches, yeah. It's the same old stuff over and over.
And here in the United States of America, they were actually involving U.S. soldiers in the fighting and in the war before war had been declared by the U.S. Congress.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
While he was making his promises to the American people
uh-huh.
that your sons will not go to war, not fight.
The same premise that Wilson ran on in World War One.
Yeah.
You just tell the public what they want to hear, that's all. And they still do.
Wasn't it George Poppy Bush that said, read my lips?
Well, George Poppy Bush...
No new
yeah,
taxes.
In 1990, he first gave his major speech about the New World Order, and he saw it coming into view, etc., etc.
We have that speech on our website, Alan.
That was September the 11th.
Yes, it was, and that's on our website.
And then he repeated it 1 year later on September the 11th.
Wow.
Same thing. It's the old occult Masonic way. And so sure, you know, meanwhile, America's been stripped of pretty well any right that you thought you had. You just haven't seen it totally enforced yet.
Yeah. Well, they're probably waiting to pull off one more terrible, they keep telling us that is going to happen.
Yeah.
We don't know when, we don't know where, we don't know how, but we know that there will be another, and it will be worse than the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who thinks that only 3,000 people died there isn't thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing what's pulled off in front of our eyes, even though the New American Century agenda and the booklet was produced in 1997 with the same players we saw during the Second Gulf War involved, Rumsfeld and all the rest of them, and they said we'll have to eventually take Afghanistan first.
Yes.
And then Iraq second.
Yes.
Then Iran and Syria. And so on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're right about it. They tell you about it. And then at the same time, another major player, Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski, comes out with a grand chessboard saying exactly the same things in the same sequence. And he says, we'll need something on the scale of Pearl Harbor to motivate the American people into action behind us.
When did he write that?
That was about 98.
Yeah, well, I've got this on audio tape. It was the day one of 9-1-1.
Yeah.
And I taped the whole day, and they brought Henry Kissinger out of a meeting.
Uh-huh.
And they said, you know, please, you know, tell us what you're thinking here or whatever. And he said, this is the same as Pearl Harbor, and it needs to be handled exactly the way Pearl Harbor was handled.
That's correct.
I have that on videotape, Alan.
Mm-hmm. So it's all orchestrated, and in this mystery religion we're talking about behind it all, they have a saying which they used on the Star Trek episodes by Mr. Spock, that the few must perish to save the many. It's a sacrifice, and that to them was worth having.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this goes on and on and on, and of course it's not just a reorganization of the basics of living in the world. Is going to be a complete reorganization of every individual's life, where ultimately, if they allow you to be born, it will be with a need for you to be trained as something, and there will be no surplus whatsoever, no excess population, and your duty will be to serve the state, the world state.
Workforce development is the implementation of that, Alan.
Yeah, yeah. So it's all out in front of us for anyone to go and investigate. People who live in duality and want to believe the nice men in the nice suits and ties who say such nice things to us really care about us, and then they can read the other information at the same time. If they want to stay in duality, that's their problem, because we know where they're going to end up.
Back in the 40s, there was a teachers' union meeting held in, I believe, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I do have it. I do have the actual agenda, a pamphlet, a copy of the pamphlet,
uh-huh.
And it's called Educating for One World.
Yeah.
This was in the 40s, Alan.
Oh, yeah.
And they said the needs of the children, one of on the list was that the children will be educated. They didn't use the word educated, trained, I believe, for the needs of labor.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you just said, isn't it?
That's right. And that's also in Brzezinski's other work called The Technotronic Era, where he goes through the fact that the elite only need a technological class now to serve them. They don't need the laboring classes.
And specifically, what's her name? Hillary is quoted as saying that children don't need to learn to read as long as they are properly trained for their job that they're going to be trained to do.
Yeah. In other words, what you're seeing implemented all over is the exact same system, only in a larger scale than the Soviet Union. It was all done in the Soviet Union with Pavlovian training. And in the memoirs of Eleanor Roosevelt, she talks about that, because she went over to Russia to meet her hero, Pavlov.
Yeah.
And she said they trained the children so well using his method. They had no personality of their own.
We have to take a break here. Please don't lose your train.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Alan, we have a caller here that wanted to inject something about the injections, the vaccinations.
Yeah.
Maria, go ahead, dear.
Yeah, what most people don't know is that homeopathy can reverse these injections and can heal the body. And if anybody is really concerned about the health of their children, they can have a vaccination through homeopathy, which is totally harmless to the body, but it's protective. So if anybody wants to check into this, I would suggest that they get to a naturopath who does homeopathy and check this out, because I know it works.
Thanks, Maria.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Alan, do you have any comments there?
Well, yeah. I know there are treatments that helps to sort of detoxify certain heavy metals, especially like mercury. They can be sort of flushed out over a certain period. It tends to be rather expensive, though.
Would that be like chemotherapy?
I think they call it chelation and different...
Chelation, excuse me. Dr. Rebecca Carley, I have not used her stuff or any of her homeopathic remedies, but Dr. Carley has been on this broadcast and other ones. She lost her medical license in New York because her son had gotten real ill after, and she was she's a medical doctor, but see, she lost her medical doctor license, and she started treating her son homeopathically.
Yeah.
And they took her son away from her. The father has guardianship now, and they have told her if she didn't shut up about homeopathy that she'd never see him again.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Carley has not shut up, because she said there are many people who need to know this, although I have never heard her talk about vaccines that work, that are healthy.
Yeah, well, really, vaccination is a bogus, because a healthy body doesn't contract the various diseases.
Yeah. Or if it does, it fights it off.
Exactly. Most people have had tuberculosis, for instance. Most people have had it, and that's why they send everyone for an X-ray. And they find a little scar tissue in the lung. That means you've been exposed to it, but you've fought it off and you've overcome it.
My daughter Jody, my dad came down with diabetes, and that would have been 68. And Jody was 7 years old at the time.
Uh-huh.
And because he got and he had come to visit, so they did tests, and
yeah,
they found scar tissue on her lungs. And they weren't sure, they said, whether it was scar tissue or active TB.
Uh-huh.
So, Alan,
well, they can tell. They can
well,
tell.
Well, okay,
yeah.
I just thought of this as I'm telling this.
Uh-huh.
They said they couldn't tell, so that they were going to treat her, and if there was no change, then they would know that it was scar tissue,
yeah,
from TB that her body healed, and that's what it turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
But meantime, I let them give Jody the therapy.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know any better, Alan.
Yeah. And they can tell immediately if you've active TB, because they give you the old man poo test on your wrist.
Well, you know what they told us? They said that since she had had it, she would always test positive. because there are antibodies against it.
Yeah, but when it's active, your wrist comes up like a balloon.
Oh, I see.
Big difference, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. No, they can tell this stuff.
Well, I would like for our listeners who have internet access, or if you don't, you can always go to a library, folks. Dr. Carley has a website, and I think it is simply drcarley.com, C-A-R-L-E-Y. But if you put Dr. Rebecca Carley into a search engine, I believe that you would find her website. Hello?
Jackie?
Yes?
I'm calling about the comment that the lady called in regarding homeopathic vaccination.
Uh-huh.
I had it in 1961 when I went to Italy, and it is nothing like the regular vaccination. Homeopathic remedies are prepared very differently, but it enables your doctor, a medical doctor, to sign a certificate that you have had a vaccination. Of course, mine was necessary to go abroad.
Okay. Thank you.
So you go to any homeopathic or even naturopath. Are able to do that today.
In other words, if there is a need, like you need to travel abroad.
If you somehow or other can't use that opt-out form.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Annette.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. Well, that is an alternative. I don't think that there's any state that doesn't have the opt-out form for the children.
Yeah.
But maybe if you are traveling abroad and they want true proof that you've been vaccinated, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it isn't necessary, but if it's harmless, that's important.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thank
but
you.
But no, so much in the world is just bogus, you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that the doctors are pretending or having you on. They're trained in a system which they believe is based on pure faith.
Yes.
On the person who taught them.
And the patients have pure faith in the doctors.
Yeah, I mean, you take it, you get a child, and you tell that child when he scratches himself or gets cut to wash out that wound, and you tell him why. And meanwhile, we take the same child to a doctor to inject him with this stuff right into his body and his bloodstream.
That isn't going to do any good anyway, Alan.
But we don't even have the ability to check ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all based on faith, trust and faith, and that's why, you know, they have succeeded so well. Science has begun to become our new priests, you know. They are the new priesthood.
I remember once that you had said that their God, these creatures that are in control here, their God is science.
Science, I mean, that was the boast of Lucifer. Lucifer said, when they were imprisoned here, basically, that through his and their, meaning his lesser beings, his followers, through their intellect and ingenuity and their knowledge of the sciences, they would eventually rise higher than all the gods and break out of this prison.
Are you saying that Lucifer was an individual?
It's given as an individual. It's definitely an entity. With a whole army, basically, of similar entities that supposedly were close to the Creator himself, but tried to overtake even that and were cast here during the fall, as they call it.
And maybe the fall was our entering into the physical realm?
Well, that was theirs because they created their own bodies by their pure will, because they still had creative abilities with them when they arrived here. That's what they claim. You'll find that in all the higher theosophy books, which are not available to the general public. And they go through this whole process where this army, if you like, arrived here, and they could manipulate all matter by pure willpower alone, create their own perfect physical bodies, which the spirit could then inhabit, and only by interbreeding with the domestic race here at the time, they claim they started to lose their powers, and hence the need to get back to interbreed only with their own once more. And this religion is still here behind all religions. It's the same religion.
High Freemasonry, Phariseeism.
Oh,
although you said that even Phariseeism was preceded by this international priesthood religion.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they came out from Babylon, which was the home at that time of the mystery religion, and they came out with the sciences, you might say, of control and physics with them. They brought it with them. And if you look at some of the most famous scientists that we are given, like Einstein and so on, they studied the Kabbalah. Isaac Newton, even though he was holed up for most of his life in Cambridge University, mainly because he liked young boys, you know, this other great hero, in his own memoirs tells you that most of his time was studying the Kabbalah, where he got the sciences from. And these books are available in university libraries.
Do you, I don't want to interrupt a flow of thought here, but do you have any books that you would recommend for people to get that would want to do their own research?
I could certainly compile a list for them.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And, okay, great. Thank you, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
I think we went through this once before, didn't we?
We did. Even going right back to the whole educational program, we mentioned a few years ago about Lord Bertrand Russell, who came out with a few main books, followed by all the higher elites around him. One was called Roads to Freedom, and the other one was called Education and the Good Life.
And Bertrand Russell was a UNESCO advisor?
He was a UNESCO advisor. He was all for global government.
Yes.
He was sent to China to initially contact young students, teach at university, and start what became their revolution many years later. These guys are always active all their lives with working for the great work.
I have a quote here by him. It says, this is Bertrand Russell, "It may be hoped that in time anybody will be able to persuade anybody of anything if he can catch the patient young and is provided by the state with money and equipment. When the technique has been perfected, every government that has been in control of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen."
Yeah. And that was also reiterated by Zygmunt Brzezinski in the Technotronic Era, and where he said the public have got to the stage now where they have no thoughts of their own. They can only repeat what's been downloaded into their minds by the previous night's news. And so they've been at this for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Bertrand Russell, back in the early 1920s, was working fervently for this elite. And this is Lord Bertrand Russell. This is one of the aristocracy here. Why is he working towards what seems to be almost a communist goal? It's because the communism and capitalism are just the two elements they need for conflict in order to create and speed up their new world order. And they've pretty well arrived.
Yeah.
And if you go back, even further back, to the writings of Plato under Republic, he's talking about a world republic, similar to what Franklin talks about in Jefferson, a united, federated world. And Plato talked about it 2,500 years ago. And he explained the system on which it would be run. Outwardly, it would have a democratic form of republicanism.
Democracy.
Uh-huh.
Democratic republic.
Uh-huh. Because he said 87% of the population are followers. And they will come to the opinion that is given to them by their leaders.
And that would be religious leaders as well as political leaders.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The news, etc.
Yeah.
Well, explain that percentage, because you did mention that in a conversation
yeah.
Earlier, and I said, well, that to me is uplifting, it leaves 13% of the people that aren't followers, but you expanded on that.
Yeah, 3% comprise the elite managers, the creative managers, you might say, not the implementers. Opposed to them are 3% who are awake in any generation. And the rest, the 7% or so, are simply the bureaucrats, police, army, etc., who enforce the 3%'s mandates. So really, that there are only 3% of the population who actively know the agenda at the top, and they are opposed at all times by an awakened 3%. There are many up on the way to that 3% who think they know it, but they don't. They're either left or they're right, or they're Protestant or they're Catholic or whatever. You know, you can't get trapped on the way up to the 3% who opposes them. So it's a matter of 3% against the other 3% with its force, its bureaucracies, and its police, etc.
I am doing it again. I'm interrupting with my questions.
No, when you go.
Well, you had, this is, I think, so relevant what you're saying right now. And I remember on one of our broadcasts that we did, you had made the statement that those that we think are in control are really not. They are just the minions, so to speak, and they are being as controlled as we are by them.
Yeah.
But you said that they actually, those are the ones that are the humanists, so to speak, that they believe they are gods, etc.
Yeah.
But that the hierarchy behind them know that there is a creator and a force and a power within each of every one of us if we call upon it, and that they're scared to death that enough people are going to recognize it.
Yeah, and it's not the Jehovah that's been rammed down everyone's throats all for thousands of years. You cannot pray to someone who gives you a hug 1 minute and then punches you in the head in the other. And that is what Jehovah is. Jehovah is the perfect abusive parent that you would use for mind control purposes on the offspring. The Creator is beyond all of that. And as long as they keep people worshipping the same deity, which is abusing them, God's going to kill us all, but he loves us. There's a paradox for you. There's an abusive statement from a victim. It makes no sense. That is how mind control works. But the Creator himself is something they don't want you to know about.
The message that Jesus brought, the true message that Jesus brought, that the kingdom of God is within you, and the power, unless it's my own interpretation, even of our spoken word, Alan, when he said that by our words we are justified, and by our words we are condemned.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that so many people that believe that this, what is happening today is the plan of our Creator, because they believe that Jehovah is, that they actually pray for it and celebrate its coming, because Jesus is coming back and he's going to plant his kingdom there in Jerusalem and rule the world here for 1,000 years in peace.
Yeah, and he's going to save little old me.
But that whole story, when you take it to its finish, that Lucifer will be released again after 1,000 years.
Yep.
And I'm like, why?
Yeah, because by Lucifer, what they mean, again, in this term, is that they have 1,000 years of peace between the ends and the beginnings of the age. And at the end of that 1,000 years, even amongst the aristocracy, they start to vie once again for power, for ultimate power amongst themselves. And that becomes a fatal trademark of theirs that you will see down through the ages. They'll all work together between the age when they've done their little wars with each other, and they have the order set as they want it to keep their peace amongst themselves. But towards the end of an age, they start vying for power again, because the goal is to be king of the world, you see.
You mean they vie for power amongst themselves?
Yeah, they can all work together towards the great work, but coming near the end of it,
okay,
they start to each guy, remember, power is an incredible drug to these guys, and each one wants to be first king of the world. They want to go down in history as the first king of the world, you know, and a united world, and to them that's a great coup. And we see it already with various factions amongst the elite falling out with each other and not being so cohesive as they usually are. So they do have their Achilles heels.
Would you expand? You had quoted, I cannot remember who it was, when I was reminiscing about what you had said before about those who are really in control having the fear that we will, enough people will discover, and the power within us is neutral, I
yeah.
think,
yeah.
except that it is the way that it is used,
mm-hmm.
and if it is used in love and compassion, it's powerful, and
yeah.
if it is used the other way, like black magic, so to speak, it is destructful, destruction.
Yeah.
I'll take a call. Hello?
Jackie?
Yes?
It's the evangelical Christians that have been brainwashed by the very people that you're exposing that have given you a distorted picture of Christianity. And that they want to bring all this Armageddon on because they say Jesus is coming. It's a complete distortion of Christianity. I'm not denying a coming of Jesus Christ, but in an entirely different frame of reference. And I thought I should tell you this.
Thank you, Annette. Thank you. Are you there, Alan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... people must remember that Messiah and a Christ or Christos are the same things that are wanted by the elite. It's their own Messiah that basically will fool the world once again. And even in the movies that they throw in front of our faces, like the Matrix movie, they get the public to cheer on the main hero, Neo. Neo means new. His name is Anderson, from the Greek Andra, which means man. He is the new son of man, with all these great powers. And his people that he's fighting for are from Zion. They are the Zionists.
And what is Zion, Sion, what is the esoteric?
On one level, Sion in Hebrew meant the sun, the light, Lucifer, the ultimate illumined man. That's basically what the first meaning means.
But then that puts the light in a negative perspective.
Mm-hmm.
According to the New Testament, Jesus is attributed as saying, ye are the light of the world.
That's right. In fact, you see that there are secrets in masonry which masons themselves don't understand at the bottom. As Pike said, they're intentionally misled, or through their own stupidity they can't understand. And the lost word is the Logos. And of course the ship that even Neo in the last Matrix movie is on is called the Logos. And he goes to see the grand architect of the universe. All pure Freemasonry.
That would be Jehovah?
That's Jehovah once again. it's the same character that you must overcome in 2001 Space Odyssey by Arthur C. Clarke. One of them overcame the sun, which is Hal, and the sun was in charge of the natural laws. It's the same story over and over and over again. But in masonry, when they raise a mason up, they give them the lost word.
And the lost word is logos?
No.
What?
Memory.
Memory?
No. M-E-M-R-E.
Memory.
And that means, in Hebrew, the lost word. The significance is, when you're raised up, you are the lost word.
And where is the soul in all this, Alan?
What well, to them,
to
them, the soul is only the primitive part that animates all life. And, of course, with them, they believe, because they have the perfect physical bodies interbred at the top level of aristocracy, then they can reincarnate their own perfect original spirits that were cast down to earth to inhabit these perfect interbred bodies.
Everything you say gives me a question.
Uh-huh.
And we're about 1 minute from the end of the broadcast. But when you talk about the perfect body,
yeah.
I have a videotape here of, it's a black and white,
uh-huh.
that was taped in the area where the Jews lived in Germany.
Yeah.
And Alan, they didn't, a lot of them, they just were ugly. They had no chins, they had... Do you suppose that we could pick this up and
yeah.
you could comment on that? And I've made a note here and I circled it so that we could pick it up. Or
well, if you want to look at the chinless or micrognathia, as it's called.
I know, but now we have a little dong
uh-huh.
and that says that the end of this broadcast is come.
Okay.
So yeah. that's why I'm saying, do you think we could pick this up?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, and ladies and gentlemen, I must remind you that this broadcast is brought to you by you. We are approximately $7,000 behind in our airtime bill. And with all of you who are listening, who appreciate the information that you get from the broadcast, if you would like to see it continue, we do need you to come forth and we need your help. This is a listener-sponsored broadcast. We'll see you next Monday, and I hope that you have your pen in your hand so that you will write my address down. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a lovely weekend. Find peace in the midst of this chaos and noise.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190 Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.